All right, it's Thursday, January 23rd, 2025. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines, and we've got a good program lined up for you today. On today's program, we're going to talk about iPhones with TikTok app still installed on them, because many people, when it went down, they immediately deleted the app. And now they've been left without the app on their phone, so they're not getting the updates and all these things that they need. So there is users out there that are so desperate to have the latest updated app of TikTok on their phone that iPhone users are selling their iPhones with the app installed on it on eBay, going upwards to $10,000 from desperate users. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about a prophetic song that was sung at the inauguration that most people missed, that had to do directly with the coming of Jesus Christ. Was this a prophetic warning? Was it a prophetic sign? We're going to talk about that. Then we warned about this. The introduction of Stargate. Trump has launched this out, the framework for it. But we've got a big problem. The big elephant in the room is with the introduction of Stargate, there's going to be this advancement for AI jabs. I'm going to use the term jabs today because Google likes to flag when you use the V word. So AI jabs is the thing of the future that they're pressing forward. But the big elephant in the room is on Trump's administration, he has RFK, who is anti-jab. Well, I said yesterday on yesterday's podcast that his stance is going to be changed. He's going to be pressured. I'm talking about RFK. He's going to be pressured to change his stance because the president of the United States is spearheading this advancement of this new digital age of the jab, this AI advanced jab that the Stargate and all of these three big tech giants, two of which came out and they gave us more detailed about that. Again, if you missed that, go back and watch yesterday's podcast. We're going to talk about that today. Then we're going to talk about, and this is all in the same vein, AI researchers came out and admitted, this is a shocking admission, that they were trying to build gods, but they may have summoned something far worse. Also, new fires emerging in California. What is going on? We've talked about that. We're going to reiterate that again today. Also, the United Arab Emirates is advancing their seed, their cloud seeding, and we could see a future where drone seeding advancement. Again, they call anyone who says weather modification, they call them a conspiratist, but we're going to show you a new report today. Also, and then we're going to close it out with public trust in pastors is continuing to plummet. We're going to give some insight on why is that happening? What does it mean? And what does that say for the voice, the unified voice of the church in this hour? So we're going to cover all this today. Buckle up. We got a lot to talk about. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, y'all? This is End Time Headlines, and again, we want to welcome to the program. Listen, before we even get started on this, we've got a whole jam-packed program lined up for you tonight. We need you to help us out, and we need to get eyes on our ministry on this program, and you can help us by doing something that only takes a second to do, and that's hit that like button there on YouTube and Rumble. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify or wherever you get your podcast, We love you guys. We appreciate you as well. And listen, if you enjoy our content, can you help us out by giving us a good review? That's going to help us get eyes on our program as well. And listen, if you're new, first time joining us, whatever the case may be, let us know in the comments section below, the chat, the comments, whatever the case may be. Let us know that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. And from myself and all of our admins here at End Time Headlines, we want to welcome you and we want you to know that we love you already. And we hope that you stick around because I believe you're going to be blessed, encouraged, equipped, and informed here at End Time Headlines. All right, guys. So let's just get this thing going today. I want to get right into this first article. This was unbelievable. I saw this first thing this morning. Once I got up out of bed and going, this was like came up right up in my feed, and I had to read it twice to believe what I was seeing. Look at this headline: iPhones with TikTok app still installed being listed on eBay for upwards of $10,000. Although the app itself has been restored, it cannot be downloaded from the App Store. Due to this, eBay users believe having the app installed drastically, quote, increases the value of their iPhones, listing them for sale at high prices. There have been sales on these phones recently. An iPhone 14 Pro Max with the app installed upon it were sold. Again, it wasn't up for sale only or still up for sale. It actually sold for $2,500. Guys, that's over $1,000 retail value, with others also being sold near those prices. Now, according to the New York Post, on eBay, smartphones with TikTok still installed fetch hundreds to thousands of dollars, with one phone, which was a 16 Pro Max, that's the latest iPhone, with the app is going for $5,000, and another iPhone 16 Plus is going for over $3,000. Some used iPhones are even listed over $1 million, like one in Raleigh, North Carolina. Screen protector is only damaged phone perfect and has TikTok, quote, the ad reads. Here's another one, quote, if you deleted TikTok, I'm selling one of my iPhone 16 with TikTok installed for $5,000. One person offered on Threads. And folks, listen, the very fact that these people are willing to spend this amount of money for these phones just to obtain this app back, it shows us the extent to which the addiction and the addiction level is present with social media, howbeit TikTok. This app in particular has been described by experts as one of the most addictive platforms because of its algorithm feed of short, engaging videos that are, quote, tailored to individual preferences. The endless scroll of content, what this does, it feeds the dopamine levels in the brain, and this is why people are addicted to this stuff. And listen, all these other platforms caught on to that. Meta, this is why they replicated this with Facebook Reels. And then YouTube jumped on board with YouTube Shorts. And this, again, this frustrates at least all of us content creators. It's frustrating for me, at least, because I'm old school. I enjoy, if it's something that's of value in content, I don't want to just watch 1 minute. And listen, we deal with this because people always constantly berate us in the comment section. I can tell that they're avid TikTok users or Reels or Shorts because they have a 1 minute, 30 second or maximum 2 minute attention span. And I'm sorry, but we don't, especially in our equipping messages, guys, there's no way we can get the fullness of what we're going to teach in 30 seconds, 1 minute, or 2 minutes. And then we wonder why, listen, we can't get people to go into church, and we can't find spirit-filled teaching behind the pulpit because these people have been succumbed to this. Their brains have been hardwired with an attention span that does not surpass 2 minutes. So the preacher is then pressured to bring a sermon that is going to come out the gate, hit hard, and get straight to the point in 2 minutes. Because if it surpasses 15 minutes, 20 minutes, then they're losing a whole generation of listeners in the pulpits. And this is just, Again, very sad. But this, again, if this doesn't show us, guys, where we are in society. Remember, Paul warned, he wrote a letter to Timothy, and he says, in the last days, men shall be lovers of themselves. Most of, if you go on TikTok, and listen, we use the platform. We have it, and by the way, we our page just surpassed 10,000, which is a great for us because we have that platform there on TikTok because it's a whole, it's another highway that we can use to reach people. It's another venue. It's another opportunity to reach an unreached group of people that our ministry may not be able to reach on other social media platforms. So listen, I'm all about throwing out a net. And the wider the net, the more fish that we can bring into the kingdom of God. Amen. So again, I'm not against TikTok as far as a tool used for the gospel, but I'm just saying on a practical level, if you were to scroll through TikTok, I'd say a huge percentage of it is just garbage. It's nonsense. And what's scary is that these content creators have caught on that they can post nonsense and they get paid for this. And I would be willing to bet that this is why many of these individuals are willing to pay high prices for these phones with the app on them so that they can continue to make content and generate revenue. And it's a mixture, guys, and it's the addiction factor in that. So this is a crazy story, and I knew I wanted to talk about this today. But remember, Paul said to Timothy, he said, in the last days, men should be lovers of themselves. And you see, most of the content on this stuff is all about themselves. We've even coined this phrase, influencers, somebody that gets up and they're constantly boasting of their lifestyles. It's disgusting. A lot of these people, especially a lot of these women that are just super high maintenance women that are, they're getting up and they're making ridiculous, videos that are centered around themselves. And some of these people are doing things that are promiscuous, that are immoral, and the list goes on. So again, this is just yet another sign of where we are in society. Now, I thought this was interesting. I knew I wanted to talk about this today. This is an article that was reported from Michael Snyder's Most Important News. There was a song. If you watch the full inauguration, listen. I'm going to admit to you. I'm going to confess to you. I did not watch the whole thing, but during the inauguration, there was a song that was played that some say could have had prophetic implications or symbolism behind it. And I'm going to read this. Let's read this together here. Quote. An incredible thing happened during the inauguration of Donald Trump on January the 20th, as the entire world watched. The U.S. Naval Academy Glee Club performed a stirring rendition of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Now, some of y'all that were in band and so on and so forth, you'll know what this song is. And again, this is Snyder saying this, quote, to me, it was one of the most memorable moments of the entire day. But what most people don't realize is the song repeatedly references the Book of Revelation and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Whoa. All right, hold on. We got to pump the brakes here. So here is a song. It was played by the U.S. Naval Academy Glee Club at the inauguration of the 47th President of the United States of America, Donald Trump. And this song was centered around references to the Book of Revelation and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? Again, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask the chat. I'm going to ask those commenting. Let us know what you think about this. Was this a prophetic sign? Now, listen, I'm not saying it's a prophetic sign that Trump is the Messiah or is the Antichrist. I'm not saying that. But is it a sign for those who are spiritually inclined that could this be the last presidency? Could we see the last 4 years that a standing seated president of the United States of America has taken his position in the United States of America? What's going to happen in the next 4 years? Is this a prophetic sign that this will indeed be the last president to be in office before the coming of the Lord, before the catching away, the gathering together? Well, let's read on here. Quote, I don't think that this was an accident that this specific song was performed at Trump's inauguration at this specific moment in human history. This was a reminder to us all that the great battle between good and evil that has been going on for centuries is reaching a, quote, grand crescendo. And it was also a reminder to all of us that we really are, quote, living in the end times. Snyder gets it. Okay, so let's scroll down here. So in the song's lyrics, he points out here that, again, this song is about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Listen to the following lyrics of the song, The following are the lyrics to the first verse of this song. Quote, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored." Wow. "He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on." Wow, guys. The first line makes it abundantly clear that this is a song about the return of Christ, but I would take it a step more. And listen what Snyder says here. In case that wasn't enough for some people, the phrase, quote, "grapes of wrath" in the second line is a reference to Revelation chapter 14. Absolutely. And here's what it says, Revelation 14, 18. "And another angel came out of the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Verse 19, and the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. So this is talking about, we've talked about this many times on our programs. This is that the wrath of God is being poured out during the tribulation. It's when this wine cup of the wrath of the press of God becomes full, it is poured out. Verse 20, and the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress and even into the horses' bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Again, this is references to the battle of Armageddon that will ensue in Revelation chapter 19. Quote, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and upon his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And guys, this was echoed by Jude in the book of Jude. It's only got one chapter. He talks about, but he quotes a prophet by the name of Enoch and says, behold, Enoch prophesied, behold, the Lord cometh out of heaven with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon the ungodly. Let's read on. Revelation chapter 19, verse 15. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and that with he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, come on somebody, and Lord of Lords. And guys, this was in this song that was sung at the inauguration. What do you think? I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Wow, is this yet another sign that we are about to enter into the tribulation that the Bible talks about in Daniel 9:27 and, of course, by John the Revelator in the book of Revelation? All right, now, I want to refresh your memory. If you watched yesterday's podcast, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you did not watch yesterday's podcast, before you go any further, you're not going to know what I'm going to talk about right here. So you need to go back and you need to watch and you need to listen to yesterday's podcast. During that podcast, we talked about how Trump just recently introduced the framework for what he calls this Stargate project. It's a $500 billion project over a span of 5 years, wherein which they are building. Right now, they have about 10 of these data centers that are about 500,000 square feet, 10 of these things, these data centers, and it's based out of Texas. He had three of the tech giants get up, and they're all in collaboration together, and they're discussing the advancement of AI, and then eventually they called it the advancement of super artificial intelligence. In the framework of this, they are pushing toward and they're moving toward a system where in which all digital medical records will be stored in these databases. And again, you can go back and watch this. They are talking about, they perceive that the day will come. Now, again, is this going to be in the five-year span? Is this going to be within the 5 years of the creation of Stargate? I don't know. I don't know how far they've even gotten. I don't think any of us really know what's going on behind the scenes, but I think it's a lot farther than what we could even imagine. I'm telling you, ChatGPT and Gemini and all of these programs and AI is absolutely mind-blowing. And we're going to talk more about that in a second. We'll give you more details about it. And this is why I'm absolutely 110% convinced that this will be the technology that will be in place for the Antichrist and the false prophet that will be used to set up their system called the, what I call the beast system of Revelation 13. Anyway, let's go back to this. They talked about taking the antibodies that are in the blood of every person in the world that has ever contracted viruses, infectious diseases, and so forth. And they'll have this record. They'll have records of this because it'll all be in digital form stored in these databases. And then with this information, with the help of AI and super AI, they can create a tailor-made jab. Now, I'm going to use the word jab and not the V word because I don't want to get this, because YouTube messes with you when you say certain phrases and keywords. They mess with your algorithm and all that stuff. And listen, we don't need to do that. Most of us know what we're talking about. But they want to tailor fashion, tailor make a jab based on your antibodies. And they're making this assertion that we're going to have a future where diseases will be eradicated. We'll have a cure for cancer. And it will be a universal, I'm talking about, it will be a jab that will be rolled out around the world that will be, again, tailor custom to you, to your children, to your family members, whatever the case would be. It's going to have your DNA on it. This is I don't want to say the words, but it is a DNA incorporated custom tailored jab. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. Because yesterday we did our podcast and YouTube messed with us a little bit on it because I just went ahead and said those words. And today, you know, we're going to use some wisdom with that. Now, having said that, one of the things that I said in my program, go back and you can hear it, you'll listen to it. Again, Trump is all on board with this because, again, we talked about he had a meeting with one of the main elite forerunners of this, Bill Gates, who, again, they had a little luncheon, powwow, and everything went great. And Bill Gates boasted about how Trump is so open to this technology and to this agenda. I mean, there's no denying it, guys. It's right out there. I know some people, they're still in denial about this, but it's out there. And Trump is spearheading this, the advancement of this. But I said on yesterday's podcast, the big elephant in the room is RFK, RFK Jr., of course. He is a huge stumbling block. Why? Because he is anti-jab. I mean, he's talked about this all the time, that he's very anti-jab. He's known for that. And I said, in order for this, if this thing is going to advance, this Stargate and its agenda and its framework and its blueprints, then RFK Jr. is going to capitulate. The pressure is going to come on him, and he is going to be forced to compromise his stance on this, or if he doesn't do that, then there's going to be a major rift and Trump will end up getting rid of this guy and he'll get somebody else to replace him. Now, I want to show you this headline. Again, I said that yesterday. Look at this. This is 24 hours later, and I want to show you this headline. Look at this. RFK Jr. is telling Senate Republicans that he's actually all for jabs in screeching U-turn. There it is. Wow. All right, let's read a little bit of this. This is from the Independent. There's other sources verifying this as well. So let's read it. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. built a following online by questioning the scientific consensus and casting doubt on the use of jabs in the U.S. But under his new boss, a.k.a. Donald Trump, the failed presidential candidate is suddenly shifting his stance. There it is, guys. Kennedy is Trump's pick to head the Department of Health and Human Services ahead of his new potential role in the Trump's White House. Excuse me. He has reportedly been assuring the Republican senators who have to vote him in that he is, quote, all for polio jabs and that he isn't going to ban any jabs, according to a report by Politico. According to lawmakers who spoke to Politico, Kennedy has been telling them that he just wants to make safety and efficacy data easier to access. This lighter touch, look at this. This is not my opinion. I'm going to read this direct quote. Quote, this lighter touch is a change from Kennedy's previous commentary on the jabs. There it is, guys. We called it. I knew it had to happen. He previously suggested that the measles jab causes autism and that the polio jabs may have killed many more people than polio ever did. Neither of those claims, quote, represent the scientific consensus. He is perhaps the best known for his comments on the want jabs, which he called the, quote, deadliest ever created. At one point, he even suggested that somehow the virus had been, quote, engineered not to affect, and I'm not going to name this, but certain nationalities of people. He told me he is not anti-jab. He is pro-jab safety, which strikes me as a rational position to take, according to Senator John Cornyn. I believe that's how you say his name. Cornyn told Politico. Now, why is this significant? Because, guys, this has to happen. Again, either Kennedy has to completely comply with Trump, that's his boss, or he's out. He'll be fired, and somebody will come in and replace him. Because, again, this is going to be just like Operation Warp Speed. Trump was so excited about this, and he wanted to let everybody know that he was the one that he wanted to take the credit for him advancing that. This is his baby, if you would. This Stargate is his idea. He wants everybody to know that this was something that he's come up with, that he's manufactured, he's laid the groundwork for, and he's not going to allow anyone to stand in the way of that. Anyone on his cabinet. So this does not shock me. I called this yesterday, and I'm telling you guys, it is incredible how fast things are accelerating. Speaking of things accelerating, I want to show you this next article. Now, keep in mind who we're dealing with. You got these three tech giants. They're all spearheading AI. They are the innovators, the top dogs of artificial intelligence. One of them warned previously, we talked about this yesterday as well, that the AI could become dangerous in the future. Yet again, apparently it's not of such of a great concern that they're not pumping the brakes on their agenda of what they're wanting to accomplish. Let that soak in for a minute. I'm going to read this headline. Quote, AI researchers admit that they were trying to build gods. This should be a little G here, but nevertheless, but they have summoned something worse. I'm going to read this. Artificial intelligence systems are training themselves to do all sorts of things that they were never intended to do. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to keep in your mind when I'm reading to you, this is the technology that is in this Stargate that is going to be revolutionizing and changing the medical industry. Keep that in mind. This is going to be the technology that's going to create the jab that's coming, that's tailored, fitted, and made for every individual. Keep that in mind. And that's just the medical industry. We're not talking about transportation. We're not talking about retail. We're not talking about all these other industries, education, that all will be impacted by AI. Artificial intelligence systems are training themselves to do all sorts of things that they were, quote, never intended to do. They're literally teaching themselves new languages. They're training themselves to become proficient in research-grade chemistry without ever being taught. Wow, that's terrifying. And they have learned to, quote, lie and manipulate humans for their own advantage. So what happens when these super intelligent entities become powerful enough to, quote, start exerting control over the world around them? And what happens if these super intelligent entities start merging with spiritual entities? We warned about that too. Let me pull this away because I'm going to talk. Let me refresh your memory on that. Let me talk about idolatry 101. Demons are attracted to things that are worshipped. Now, when we think about worship, we think about someone bowing down prostrating themselves on the ground and worshiping some type of wooden image or some type of stone image that's been carved out by man. We think of that as worship, but as we've pointed out before, worshiping something is anytime you put all of your concentrated effort into it, your emotions into it, your money into it, your time into it, it becomes your little g god. It sits on the throne of your heart. That is idolatry, friend. That then you begin to worship that. And what happens is when you move to that level, it can attract demons. Now, I know some people ain't going to believe what I'm telling you here, but I'm telling you, you can disagree with this preacher all you want, but I'm telling you, you go overseas and you go to third world countries where idolatry and witch doctors and sorcery, all this stuff is very prevalent over there. And you'll get a wrecking firsthand crash course on the very thing I'm telling you about. I could tell you stories of missionaries and individuals that went overseas and they purchased or they were given free charms. They were given necklaces. They were given drums, little drums that were given to them, instruments that were given to them that were used in sacrificial rituals. They were used in demonic rituals. They were used in the rituals of false gods and deities and during worship. And these were given by certain witch doctors. They were given by certain spiritual leaders of certain tribes or certain groups overseas, and then only to find out when these missionaries bring these items into their home, all of a sudden all hell begins to break out in their home. They start seeing their children start having nightmares. They start hearing things going up and down in their steps. Dishes are breaking. Windows are opening unexpectedly. They're finding scratches and bruises and hurts all over their body. They're seeing sickness and diseases that are popping up that they're unexplainable. The doctors can't explain it. The medical reports can't explain it. They do x-rays and ultrasounds and do all these medical scans and they can't find any source for this. I'm telling you, these things open the door for demons. And when people, listen, when they begin to engage in emotional relationships with artificial intelligence, wherein which you got these crazy people that are creating boyfriends and girlfriends from artificial intelligence, and they're giving their entire hearts to them, they're becoming emotionally attached to them and sexually engaged with them. Don't ask me how that's happening, but it is. My friends, they're opening the door for demonic entities. And they're opening the door for malevolent. I got to correct that because the other day I kept saying benevolent, didn't catch that. It's malevolent. So I want to bring that correction there. These malevolent spirits, entities that are given access coming right into their homes. Let me read this. For years, prominent individuals involved in the field of AI have openly admitted that they were attempting to build gods, little g, transhumanists. Martini Rothblatt, or Martin, how do you pronounce that, says that by building AI systems, we are making God. Look at that. Look at this statement here. Transhumanists. Another transhumanist says that, quote, we are building God. Another one says that, quote, we can see more of God in a cell phone than in a tree frog. Does God exist? Ask transhumanist and Google maven Ray Kurzweil. Quote, I would say not yet. These people are doing more than trying to steal fire from the gods. They are trying to steal the gods themselves or build their own versions. Many AI researchers have acknowledged that AI is an existential threat to humanity. Again, one of which is on the cabinet of Donald Trump, and it's Elon Musk. Again, blows my mind, guys, that a guy warns about the dangers and the existential threat to humanity with AI, yet he's using it. He's advancing it. He's putting chips in people. And by the way, there was a new report that came out, and he wants to line up 30 more people in 2025 with Neuralink and put these brain chips in their head. He wants Optimus, those bots, to be in your home and be incorporated in your life. If you don't believe me, look, let me pull this up right here. This is Elon Musk. Okay. Elon Musk, the guy who's in a bunch of hot water right now for a gesture that he made during the inauguration. I don't want to get into all that. Personally, I don't think that's what he was doing at all. Now, I know there'll be people disagree with me, but the guy's autistic. I'll give him that. But nevertheless, oh boy, it's even infuriated a lot of the Trump people because all the backlash centered around this. But I don't want to even get into that. I want to talk about this warning from Elon Musk. Look at this. More than a decade ago, Elon Musk warned that by choosing to develop artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon. What? With artificial intelligence, we are, quote, summoning the demon. He didn't say we are summoning demons. He said we are summoning the demon. Interesting. Musk said last week at the MIT Aeronautics and Astronautics Department's 2014, so this was back in 2014, Centennial Symposium, quote, you know all those stories where there's the guy with the pentagram and the holy water, and he's like, yeah, he's sure he can control the demon, but it doesn't work. He also warned that AI is potentially, quote, more dangerous than nuclear weapons. Musk has also taken his reminiscences to X on multiple occasions, stating that, quote, hope we're not just a biological bootloader for digital superintelligence. Unfortunately, that is increasingly probable. The next day, Musk continued, quote, worth reading, Superintelligence by Bostrom. We need to be, quote, super careful with AI, potentially more dangerous than nukes. Quote, we have now reached a point where AI systems are secretly teaching themselves new abilities that their creators never intended them to have. Furthermore, the acceleration of the capacity of these AIs is both exponential and mysterious. The fact that they have developed theory, mind at all, for example, was only recently discovered by their developers by, quote, accident. AIs trained to communicate in English have started speaking Persian, having secretly taught themselves. Look at that. If they're secretly teaching themselves how to speak foreign languages that they were never programmed to do, my friend, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. What will these things teach themselves to do that will have a sinister agenda to? What will they do that will be nefarious in nature? Wow, others have become proficient in research-grade chemistry without ever being taught it. They have capabilities. And Roskin's words, quote, and we're not sure how or when or why they show up. Wow, that's not creepy at all, is it? So the question is asked, where does this end? Will we end up with the AI systems that are so powerful that we simply cannot control them? One study actually discovered that many artificial intelligence systems are quickly becoming masters of deception. Masters of deception. What do they mean by this? Well, a recent empirical review found that many artificial intelligence systems are quickly becoming masters of deception, with many systems already learning to lie and manipulate humans for their own advantage. Now, listen, I know most of our people are very familiar with this because they've heard Brother Ricky talk about this multiple times. But if you're new to the program, you're new to the podcast, this is going to be all new to you. But I keep telling you this, so I'm going to bring it right up with the scripture. Revelation 13, it tells us of two main characters, two main players of prophecy that will rise in the last days, and to be detailed technical about this, they will rise up in mid-trib. Revelation 13, the first one that comes up out of the sea In Revelation 13, 1 is the Antichrist, the second individual. It comes up and comes up from the earth is Revelation 13, 11. That is the false prophet. And the Bible says that he will deceive those who dwell on the earth with signs, which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. Now here it is, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and live. So again, this false prophet will command individuals on the earth to create an image to the beast. And it says that he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Friends, again, look what we're talking about. We're talking about this very scenario being played out in the future. AI is going to, when we get to super, if we've got artificial intelligence is capable of learning new things, it's capable of crossing the threshold of what it's been programmed to do and learning new skills, learning new languages, it's learning to lie and manipulate. That's on artificial intelligence. What do you think super artificial intelligence is going to bring to the table? In my opinion, you know what it's going to bring to the table? It's going to bring the image of the beast to the table. This is going to be the image of the beast that is going to cause the world to worship it. And if they don't worship it, the Antichrist will give the command for them to be eliminated. If you read the book of Revelation written by John the Revelator, it tells you the way in which they will be killed and they will have their heads taken off. Because John saw them under the throne that were beheaded for their testimony to Jesus Christ. And if they reject that mark of the beast that's coming as well in the beast system, that will be their fate as well. All right, meanwhile, guys, we got more fires breaking out in northern parts of Los Angeles. According to the latest report, they're calling this the Hughes Fire, broke out late Wednesday morning, and in less than a day has already charred nearly 16 square miles of trees and brush near Castaic, I believe that's how you say, Lake, a popular recreation area about 40 miles from the devastating Eaton and Palisades fires that has been burning for a third week. So again, another fire has broken out. What is going on? Again, is this the judgment of God? We did a whole segment on that. And what does that mean? Is God using these winds and the combination of maybe a spark that was caused by, who knows? Is this deliberate? Is this the work of arson? Are we being attacked from within? Again, it doesn't change the fact that this could be the hand of God being lifted from Los Angeles, from this whole region. This could be the judgment of God. I'm not going to rehash all that. We did a whole, again, a podcast on that as well. Again, we just want to give you the update. There was there is more fires now, they're saying, that are growing and they're spreading in the northern part of the Los Angeles area. Now I want to show you this article for all those that always that want to blast us for even remotely indicating or making any type of assumption that our government and other governments have weather modification tools and equipment and the know-how to again manipulate the weather, and they call us conspiracy theorists. Well, look at this article. Cloud seeding in the UAE. Could drones, hello, do I got your attention now? Could drones soon be, quote, making it rain? It's one of the topics being discussed at an Abu Dhabi hosted forum on, quote, rain enhancement. All this is taking place again in Abu Dhabi between January 28th and 30th at the quote, 7th International Rain Enhancement Forum. It invites the world's leading experts, here we go, researchers, and policymakers and weather scientists to meet and discuss a range of topics related to, quote, cloud seeding and rain enhancement programs. Oh, now there's no such thing. And we had some policymakers. We had some political leaders in Washington that dared implied that this could be weather modification. And they were quickly clowned on. They were ridiculed. They were laughed at. And they were called a conspiracy theorist. Now, according to this report, the UAE carries out nearly 300 cloud seeding missions annually as part of its efforts to enhance rainfall. Did y'all know that? The UAE has carried out 300 on average seeding missions annually. So this is every year they carry out this in efforts to enhance rainfall. And now here's what's interesting is, and that's in the UAE. But again, according to this report, I'm going to remind you that, let's go back up here, that the world's leading experts, researchers, policymakers, and weather scientists are all meeting and discussing a range of topics related to this very event, this very procedure that the UAE is doing. So don't sit here and tell me that we do not have in our possession the capability to manipulate the weather, because we absolutely do. And I don't let anybody change your mind on that, because we do. In fact, there was a program. Now, if you go research this on the internet, they'll say it's been shut down for many years, but there's skepticism on there. It's kind of divided. Even if you go to Reddit forums, some say it is, some say it's not. But there was a program called HAARP, HAARP. Some say it's still up and running. Others say it was discontinued. It was shut down. Nevertheless, again, don't miss the point, guys. It's there. It's in place. Now I'm going to move on. We're going to move to our last topic. Look, this was a new poll that came out. Public trust in pastors continues to, quote, decline. This is according to a new Gallup poll. Let's see what this is about. All right, according to the Christian Post, the public trust in pastors has dropped to a new low. According to the Gallup poll, a survey found that only 30% of Americans rate clergy as highly honest and ethical, continuing a, quote, downward trend. Gallup's findings released recently placed clergy in 10th position among the 23 professions measured. Clergy was ranked below auto mechanics, judges, but above bankers and nursing home operators. Wow. Guys, listen to that. Pastors and clergy was ranked below auto mechanics in trust from people. The poll was conducted between December 2nd to the 18th of last year. It was revealed that 20% of Americans rate clergy's honesty and ethics as low or very low, while another 42% see pastors as having average standards. Now, you may want to ask, you know, well, what's causing this disdain? What is causing people to lose their trust in pastors and our leadership of the churches? Well, here it is. Reports of sexual abuse in religious settings, such as the 2002 investigations by the Boston Globe, appear to have eroded trust. Gallup described 2002 and 2018 as points in time that mirrored negative developments in the Catholic Church and other denominations, while Lifeway pointed to the additional sex abuse reports and other denominations and Christian groups as relevant factors. Gallup's data also suggested Americans changing religious affiliations and decreased church-going habits could be contributing to the decline. Lifeway mentioned that the growing proportion of non-religious adults express lower trust than religious adults, which influences overall ratings. The downturn in religiosity is reflected in how pastors are fair among demographic settings. So listen, guys, I'd love to hear your comments on this. What is your thoughts? Number one, do you agree with this poll? And if you do, what do you think are the contributing factors of why people are losing their trust in leadership and pastors and shepherds? Now, listen, as one who does what I do, that God has called me to do as a watchman, I can 100% tell you that I believe this poll, because I see the comments on a daily on all social media platforms. Every one of them, you can just pick your choice. And you see the comments, you see the hurts, you see the wounds, you see the distrust. And again, it's a collaboration of events that are causing this. Let's go over some of these. Let's use what the reporters used here at Christian Post. Sexual allegations, scandals, moral failures, and I'm not going to name names. We've reported on all these. And we could name this story and that story and this church and this church and that pastor and this pastor and that leader and that leader. But we've all heard this. Look at the full circus going on at Daystar. Look at the repercussion that's gone on there. You've got Christian leaders and preachers and speakers that are, there's a mass exodus of them just leaving Daystar Network because of the scandal going on there. Who knows? Who's right? Was Jonathan Lamb and his wife, were they in the right? Or was Joni Lamb in the right? Were they in the wrong or was she in the wrong? Nobody, I don't know if anybody's really going to know this. But again, it puts a reproach on the body of Christ. You've got, again, and again, we could go down the whole line of this, of these leaders and shepherds that are falling, and it's causing people to be wounded and hurt, and they're distancing themselves from the brick and mortar church as we know it. Now, you couple that with the fact that a large majority, and I'm not saying all, so don't rip me in the comments, because I don't want to paint a broad brush, and I don't want to use the word all or the whole church, but a lot of leaders in the body of Christ have completely compromised their message. They have completely removed the very foundational principles of the Word of God, like repentance, the preaching of sin, the preaching of the blood of Jesus, the importance of fasting, the importance of sanctification and holiness, and all of these things. As a whole, guys, there's a very small percentage of what I call the remnant voices out there, the remnant church, the remnant pastors, that are still holding to these standards, and they're holding the standard up, and they've not capitulated. Then you've got the fact that a lot of shepherds have been succumbed to the woke agenda. So now they've become progressive. And they are turning from the gospel of Jesus Christ as we know it to another gospel. That's another spirit and another doctrine that's not found in the scriptures of the Bible. Okay? And so that's a big factor in this. Then you couple in the fact that a large majority of churches, howbeit leaders, shepherds, will get up behind their pulpits twice a week minimum. Some only once a week, whatever the case would be, depending on what church you go to, or if they have multiple services, maybe an early service and a midday service or a later service, whatever the case would be. A majority of them will get up and they will never open the pages of the book of Revelation. They will never open the pages of the book of Daniel. They will not preach on eschatology. They will not preach on the end times. They will not prepare their flock accordingly. They will not warn their flock of the signs of the coming of the Lord. And they'll use every excuse under the sun to make these excuses of why they won't preach on this, or they won't touch on this subject, or they won't teach on this. Everything from it's confusing, it's too much symbolism, it's too divisive, it's fear-mongering, it's hyperbole, it's not relevant for today. And we could go on and on and on. And what this does, guys, and what is happening, and again, and I'm going to tell you for a fact, what's happening is people are leaving those churches by the droves, and they're looking and searching for pastors and leaders who will warn them and inform them of the times and seasons in which we're in. And I'm going to tell you guys, when God gave me this ministry back in 2010, I had no idea. I would have never dreamed and thought that we would be where we're at today with the amount of partners that we have, the amount of lovely, blessed, wonderful people that follow our ministry. And we get letters from you. We get emails from you. We get messages from you. And the general consensus is we can't find Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, Spirit-led churches, doctrinally sound churches. We can't find them in our area. We can't find them in our region. There's nowhere out there that preaches the blueprints of the book. I call it the blueprints of the Book of Acts church. Or they'll say, neither can we find a church that will even talk remotely about the end times. They never discuss it. They never talk about it. And some of you have, listen, some of you has emailed me and messaged me and said that you personally went to your pastor and asked, why do you not touch on this? Or why do you not preach on this? And you are given, pick your choice of one of the many excuses that I named a while ago of why they won't touch on that subject. And it breaks my heart, guys, because I get the letters and I get the emails and I get the messages, and you tell me I just can't do it anymore. We have to be in the know-how. We have to know what's going on. And listen, I'm right there with you, guys. I'm not going to sit under a pastor who buries his head in the sand and refuses to inform his sheep of the times and seasons which we're in and have them ill prepared, because you know that's a great injustice to that body of Christ that he's doing to them, because when these things begin to happen and take place and accelerate, they're going to be oblivious to it. They're going to be marching head on blindly to a cliff that they can't see and fall over that cliff. Not on my watch. That's why we have a mandate here at End Time Headlines. And that is, what is our mission statement? To inform you of the times and seasons in which we're in. That's why we're news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, to keep you informed. So I'm not surprised by this poll, guys, that the mistrust in shepherds and leaders and pastors and clergy is at an all-time high. We've created this. And I mean, I don't have all the answers. I can't tell you how do we fix this, because it's so multifactored. Yes, we need to get back to repentance. Yes, we need to get back to the Holy Ghost. Yes, we need to get back to sound doctrine. Yes, we need to be preaching about end times. But guys, I understand how difficult it is to find a church and be a part of a church that checks all the boxes. And unfortunately, so many of us and so many of you, you have to compromise. You have to say, well, there's more pros than there is cons, but you still compromise. And that's a sad thing to say, and that's a sad commentary. But again, this is yet another sign, guys, that we truly are embarking in the end of it all, the end of the age, the last days. The countdown has begun. The grains of the sand are falling through. And because remember, the Bible tells us that before the revealing of the Antichrist, Paul warned his readers in the church of Thessalonica. And this is a letter to all of us. It's applicable to every one of us as believers. He said, remember when I was told you that the falling away must happen first. And friends, we are no doubt right now living in the age of apostasy of the falling away. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That is going to be our main website. And if you have not downloaded our free app, I wanted you to take the time to pick it up today. When you get off this podcast, if you don't have it yet, you can go to the description of this video. You'll see it. So download our free app. You can click it there. You can go to your app store, depending on what it looks like for you, Apple, Android. Get it today. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away and have everything right there at your fingertips. And listen, guys, if this ministry blesses you, it informs you, it equips you, you find value in our content and what we do, and maybe use it as a missionary tool to help reach the lost at your job or your family, your friends. And you want to give back, you want to support our ministry. Listen, pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through many different facets there to do that, or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen. You can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So guys, I leave you with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all of these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. We're going to sign off for tonight, guys, but we plan on being back here, Lord willing, tomorrow, which is Friday night. Probably, it likely be 8 p.m. Eastern. Until we see you then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.